If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 13 and 14, a statement that Jesus makes in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And we're so glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. Thank you for tuning in. And for those who join us every week, we appreciate you coming back and giving us some time and attention as we study together from God's Word. We're so glad that you are with us. Stop by and visit us sometime at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We would love to have you come just simply visit, and we can worship and study God's Word together. If you'd like to visit us on the web, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. My sermons are posted there if you want to get an idea of a sample of my preaching. And there's other good material there for your benefit. If you'd like to call us, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus is preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, we find he says, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto eternal life, and few are they that find it." Jesus said that there is a broad way that leads to destruction, that's hellfire, and he said that there are many people who are traveling that way. There's going to be many people who are lost in the judgment day. And so this morning, I want to talk a little bit about why many people are not saved. Why is it that many people are not saved? Why are they traveling that broad road that leads to destruction? Why are they going to be lost in the judgment day? Evidently, many will be lost, according to Jesus. He says that many are traveling that broad way. Many will be lost eternally. Again, toward the end of the same book in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, after talking about the judgment day, Jesus said, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So, heaven and hell. Friend, you don't have to be lost. I don't have to be lost. We can obey the gospel. We can be forgiven of our sins. We do not have to be lost. Peter says that God is not willing that any should perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And so you don't have to be lost. But why is it then that many are lost? Why is it that many will not be saved? That's what I want to talk about this morning. I have several things that I'd like to mention this morning. It's not an exhaustive list by any means, but it is several reasons, and maybe one of these touches on your life. And if it does, I would encourage you to do something about that so that we can be in heaven together. If we need to study together, please contact me. I'd be glad to come to your home or wherever it's convenient to do that so that we can learn what we can do to be saved. I want to talk a little bit this morning why many people are not saved. First of all, many people are not saved because they do not think they are lost. There is an idea among many people that everybody is going to be saved. God will not cause anybody to be lost. And God is not going to hold us accountable for the way we live. Or God is so loving that he's going to overlook the way we live. We need to understand that God is going to hold us accountable. We have to give an account before God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. There are several passages in the New Testament that tell us that we're going to be judged according to our deeds. Each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14 verse 12. And so, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. And sin causes us to be lost. And so we have to have that sin removed in God's plan of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, speaking of the second coming of Christ, Paul writes, "When they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." There are a lot of people that think that they are saved and they are fine and they think that they are at peace and in safety, when in fact they are going to be lost. So a lot of people are not saved because they don't think that they're lost. Many people are not saved because they simply do not believe. They're unbelievers. They may not believe in God. They may not believe in Jesus Christ. They may not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And a host of other things. But we must believe. And sometimes the devil takes the truth away from individuals. In the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, we read in verse 12, "And those by the wayside are they that have heard, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved." We have truth, and then someone comes and takes it away from us, and we do not believe in order to be saved. Friends, there's no hope for the unbeliever. We must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8, 24, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and be willing to confess that with our mouth. We must believe the gospel and be baptized. In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, the apostles of Christ were to go into all creation and preach the gospel. He that believeth, that is, believes the gospel, and is baptized, shall be saved. Unbelief will keep us from being saved. It will keep us from obeying the Word of God. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was preaching Christ to him, which included baptism, they were going along the way, and they came up to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He said, "Here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? What is holding me back?" And Philip just simply said, "If you believe, you can be baptized." Don't let unbelief hinder you and keep you from obeying. It's up to you. In other words, Philip is saying to him, only you can hinder yourself. Only you can stand in the way. But if you believe, you may be baptized. And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He made that great confession that Paul talks about in Romans 10, 9 and 10. We believe in our heart, and then we make that confession with our mouth. Number three, some people are not saved because they rely upon faith only. They have the belief and the faith that we just talked about, but it is not an active faith that obeys. They've been taught by various religious individuals that a person can be justified by faith only, when in fact James says that that is not the case. In James chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, James, speaking to those who are already Christians, but the principle is the same for faith in anyone, and that is that it must show itself in works in order to be the right kind of biblical faith. But in James chapter 2, we read in verse 24 that faith without works is dead. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. Here is one place in the Word of God where we have the word faith and the word only, but the word not is there. Not only by faith. And he gives the example of Abraham and the example of Rahab, who were justified by their works. And then he closes by saying, as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. It takes an obedient faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are several Old Testament examples of faith. The chapter opens up with what faith is and then gives several examples of faith. And when you look, for example, at Noah, in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Faith moved him to prepare, that's a verb, action, prepare an ark to the saving of his house. It's an obedient faith that saves. It's not just saying, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. It's not enough just to simply say, I believe in Jesus. I have to go out and do what he says. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So let us not rely upon faith only, but a faith that moves us to obey. Some people are not saved because they love sin. They just don't want to leave that sinful life. They love the darkness rather than the light. That's what Jesus said in John 3 in verse 19. There are those who love the world and the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Some sins are pleasurable. And people want to engage in those because they like it. In 2 Peter 2:15, talking about the Old Testament character of Balaam, it said that he loved the hire of wrongdoing. He loved the hire of wrongdoing. And so some people just love it too much, and they don't want to get out of it. But is it worth it, friend, to engage in the pleasures of sin for a season if we're going to lose our soul eternally in hell? Let's think about that. Why are many people not saved? Well, number five, they trust in their general goodness. There are people who are good people, and they believe that that alone is what will save them and cause them to go to heaven. And we certainly need to be good people. Drive the speed limit and pay our taxes and treat our spouse right and treat our children right and do our work. But that alone, morality and goodness alone, does not save. We have examples in the New Testament of individuals who were good individuals. We just got through talking about the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He had been to Jerusalem to worship God, and he was on his way back reading the scripture, and yet he still needed to submit to water baptism in order to be saved. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was a good Roman centurion, and he had been kind to others. He was praying to God, but he needed to hear words by which he would be saved. And he was told and commanded, even in Acts 10 toward the end of the chapter, to be baptized. Morality alone does not save. The blood of Jesus saves. An obedient faith in contacting that blood in baptism saves. Being a member of the Lord's church is what we need to be. Ephesians 5, 23. And so we're baptized into Christ. The Lord adds us to his body. Acts 2, 47. We're baptized into Christ. We put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. That's more than just being getting up each day and being a good person. And so there is a plan of salvation to obey. There are daily Christian responsibilities to fulfill, and there are activities in the local church to be a part of upon the first day of the week. All of that is necessary in order to be saved. Why are some people not saved? Well, number six, they're prejudiced. They've closed their eyes to the truth. Jesus speaks of this, if you'll turn with me to Matthew 13 and verse 15. Some have their minds already made up, and they don't want to listen to what the scripture teaches. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 15, for this people's heart is grown gross or thick, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Some people have just closed their eyes and ears to the truth. When Stephen was preaching in Acts chapter 7 and verse 57, he was trying to save the Jews there. But it said that they stopped their ears and they rushed upon him with one accord and they stoned him. Prejudice, closed eyes and ears. That in part is what crucified Christ. The Jews didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear the truth. Prejudice keeps one from facing the facts. Prejudice keeps one from facing the truth. And many people will not repent and be baptized because their eyes and ears are closed to the truth of the Word of God. There's evidence all around us for a Creator, and yet atheists say, I don't want to see God anywhere. I don't want to see design anywhere. I don't want to see a designer. Many people do not want to see the Bible as the Word of God. They don't want to see Jesus as the Christ. Their eyes and ears are closed. Why do many people, or why will many people not be saved in the judgment day? Number seven, they've been deluded and they've been deceived. They believe a lie rather than the truth. They reject the truth because it's easier to believe a lie. It's easier just to listen to what friends and family might say, or people out in the world, or maybe even their favorite preacher on TV or the radio, rather than just opening up their Bible and considering the truth. Paul talks about those. He says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God sends them a working of error that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That was a point that we made earlier. Many people just love sin. But there are those who will not receive the love of the truth because they have accepted a lie. The God of this world blinds the hearts and minds of individuals. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Many people just simply purposely put God out of their lives. Paul talks about those of his day in the Roman and Greek world. In Romans chapter 1 verse 24, they refuse to have God in their knowledge. And they believe a lie. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. It's easy to believe a lie. Sometimes the truth is hard to believe. It's hard to digest. It's uncomfortable. We might go to the doctor and he gives us some uncomfortable truth. But even though it's uncomfortable, it's still truth. Would you rather the doctor lie to you about your health? He knows that you're dying with cancer or some other disease, but he won't tell you the truth. He just tells you what you want to hear. Or would you rather hear the truth so that you can learn what to do to be saved from an untimely death? The same is true, friend, with our spiritual lives. Let us have a love for the truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. But many will be lost because they are deceived and deluded for believing a lie and rejecting the truth. Number eight, many people will not be saved in the judgment day because they do not believe the Bible. They might believe parts of it, or maybe they might have a favorite verse, but they reject very clear passages that tell them how to live. There are some clear passages concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Many people don't want to believe those passages. There are passages that talk about how that marriage is between one man and one woman. Many people do not want to believe those Bible passages. Many people say the Bible is just simply written by man, man's opinions, man's thinks so, and they don't need to follow it. What they're doing is they're rejecting the very thing that will judge them in the last day. Jesus said, "The words that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day." John 12 and verse 48. In Revelation chapter 20, when John talks about the coming judgment day, he says the books will be opened. Those are the books of God's word contained in Scripture, and many will be judged out of the things that are written in those books. Many will not be saved because they simply do not believe the Bible. Others will not be saved because they might have a Bible. They might hear Scripture from time to time, but they will not read it seriously and investigate it. They're going to be lost because they have no desire really to know the truth. Others are afraid they will learn something that they don't want to know, that they'll learn something that they might have to change. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul went to Berea after leaving Thessalonica, Luke records that those in Berea were more noble, literally more honorable and fair-minded. They searched the Scriptures daily. They examined the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was so. And the very next verse talks about those who believed and obeyed. Why? Because they searched the Scriptures. They investigated. And so, we have to have that attitude, friends. Have an open Bible and an open mind. And maybe the Bible is new to you, and that's fine. I would be glad to sit down with you and guide you through some basic truths. We can sit down together and study God's Word. But we have to read it, and we have to investigate it. We have to learn it and apply it in our lives. But many are not willing to go through that kind of work. And so they just simply keep a closed Bible, and that's easier for them. Number 10, many people will not be saved in the judgment day because they rely upon their feelings. There's a way in man that seems right, but the end of that way is death. Proverbs 14:12. There are people who simply want to go on what they feel or think. I think about the Old Testament example of Isaac, who blessed Jacob. He thought he was blessing Esau, and he blessed Jacob. His hands felt like the hands of Esau, but the voice was the voice of Jacob. And Rebekah and Jacob had worked out a plan where Jacob would come before Isaac, who didn't see very well at the time. He's older. And so Isaac is going on his feelings, literally. But feelings can be wrong. We may feel safe when in fact we're in danger. We may feel insecure when we're in fact safe. There have been times in my life where I had a particular feeling about something and I found out that it was wrong. And you've had that in your life as well. You had an idea, a feeling, a thought. And then it came up something else. So let's not rely upon that, but rely upon the Scripture. We know that it doesn't change. We know that it is not false. And make sure that our life matches up with the Scripture. Then we're relying upon the very Word of God. Many will not be saved in the judgment day, number 11, because many will not give up their family religion. And I believe it's great that a person believes in God, believes in the Bible, believes in Jesus Christ, and they're trying to live right. But most are what they are religiously because of their family. And like Saul of Tarsus, who was raised a good Jew, he had to learn to become a Christian, a New Testament Christian. And Jesus taught that there are times when we have to forsake our family for the truth. Matthew 10:37. That doesn't mean we never talk with them. That doesn't mean we abandon them in the sense of we ignore them or never talk with them, but we put truth above family. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and following, that he left behind that Jewish upbringing and heritage to become a simple New Testament Christian. He gave that all up for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he was baptized into Christ. We read about his conversion in Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. And he was baptized into Christ. Ananias told him to arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and he could wash away his sins. Baptism washes away our sins. Be willing to give up anything in the past that may not quite be right. You might have a good start, you might have a good foundation, but you need to change some things to bring it in line to the New Testament plan of salvation, the New Testament church, the New Testament work and worship. And know that you're a true New Testament Christian. Many will not be saved in the judgment day, number 12, because they have hardened hearts. This is similar to what we talked about earlier with regard to being prejudiced. But a conscience can become seared, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the Word of God just simply doesn't sink in. We've gotten hardened because of the way somebody treated us or something going on in life. But we've got to let the seed of the Word of God come in. Many will not be saved in the end because they will not repent. They will not turn from their sins. Jesus says that we must repent. Luke 13, 3 through 5. God commands all men that everywhere that they would repent. Acts 17, 30. This is a most difficult command, but it must be done. We must turn from our sin, turn away from that old life. And then last of all, number 14, many will not be saved in the judgment day because of simple neglect. They've heard the truth. Maybe you're listening to me this morning. Maybe somebody's read their Bible. Maybe they've heard the truth, but they just let it go. They don't really do anything with it. And sometimes that is true of those who are already Christians, and that's Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. The Hebrew writer says, be careful that you do not drift away, that you do not neglect so great a salvation and drift from it, Hebrews 2:11. Simple neglect. And so when the Lord comes again, they're unprepared. It's just something they haven't dealt with in their life to prepare themselves for the second coming of Christ. They maybe intended to do it, but they put it off and kept putting it off and kept putting it off. And then finally they're lost. Friends, if you are a saved person, it is because you have done what Christ said and you have obeyed the gospel. But if you are lost, it is because you have not obeyed the gospel. Will you remain in that lost condition, knowing the consequences? I hope not. Let's not continue in sin, knowing the penalty that many are traveling the broad way that leads to destruction. Let us study together. Don't be one of those lost persons on the broad road. Be one of those saved persons on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. And if we can study together and learn what we need to do to be saved, let's get together and do that. We invite you to one of our services, or I'd be glad to study with you personally. Thank you for joining us, and have a good day.